It's been a sec since we did this, and I'm starting to feel like this here is the Cold Open.
You don't want to do like a fun thing where like I found a hole in the parking lot and it leads to the Hollow Earth and we can do that or something.
Well, that sounds fun. Wait, Diet Coke, did you find a hole in your parking lot?
Yeah, I was walking my beautiful boy, Naki, my dog, and there was I found an endless hole in the parking lot.
Okay.
Of my apartment complex.
Yeah.
And I went in, I fell in the hole. I was screwing around, you know, I was doing a bit pretending like I was going to fall in the hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I fell in the hole.
Uh-huh.
And I fell down and I saw a big monkey holding an axe down there.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting.
It's cool. I happen to have a big banana with me, so yeah, I gave it to him and it worked out.
You're always keeping big bananas on you, and I've been admonishing you for that for years.
And look how it turned out. Look who was a dashboard confessional vindicated .mp4 over here.
It's an MP4, huh?
Well, it's the music video. Hello, and welcome to the Big Batch Minute. Don't call it a comeback. We've been here for weeks.
We've been gone for weeks? Is that...
No,
I feel like you don't get a comeback.
Cool,
you know, I know you were referring to LL Cool J, but...
He had been there for years, but we can't say that.
Yeah, we literally... Yeah. We're coming up on a year.
Oh, wow.
I remember because we did this like right after... Mania last year.
Yeah,
and you got a Mania point. Weekend's like coming up.
Wasn't Mania weekend? How does I'm always confused as to when whether WrestleMania is the weekend of Easter or the week after.
So it's usually the first weekend of April, but I don't know if they just didn't do that this year.
Well, maybe because the first weekend of April was Easter this year. They didn't want to step on God's toes.
Oh. We all know. Can I throw this out there? There's many people who I would say wouldn't want to step on God's toes.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon, I would say, is famously deeply, not afraid of it.
Deeply Christian man, Vince McMahon. Faith is, I'm sorry, at the man center has, of his work and
the man has wrestled
him.
A tag match against God.
Sometimes we must tell stories to educate our audience on the importance of Jesus in our lives, and sometimes that means playing the villain. I think it all comes from a place of deep and genuinely felt faith in the Lord above that Mr. McMahon did that.
I think that Vince McMahon would, and I'm so, again, this is maybe getting a little bit too I think Vince McMahon would have driven the nails into the Christ himself if he thought he could sell tickets and merchandise.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
But hey, we're back.
We're back. Like Jay Leno and John Goodman and all those other dinosaurs, we're back.
Oh, fuck. God.
I'm the girl of a million references. You can't stop me.
Jesus Christ. did you say who we are? Because I don't remember saying it. I'm Lilith.
I'm Diet Coke.
Lilith.
Okay. Well, you do. Okay. This is the show where we talk about wrestling matches 1 minute at a time. And we also try to find ourselves.
Yeah, we do, and I'll tell you something, that's been the process.
Yeah, honestly,
we have been having a little bit of difficulty with that particular part of the podcast this last little while.
Like that, we were like Jesus wandering through the fire. This mm-hmm. I've become deeply Christian, is what I'm saying here. That's
okay.
Not true.
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
a joke, and I want to abandon it right away because I don't want anyone to try to hold me to it.
Diet Christ.
Diet Christ. That's me. That's my new name. What if that was my pivot? After being Diet Coke for like 18 months, I'm now Diet Christ.
Oh, God. That would be even worse.
How do you think people would react?
Yeah, people would love that. People would be so happy about that. We had a fun time hanging out with Ash.
We did.
I did not have a fun time in the post-production of those episodes, because that was entirely my fault, because I sounded like I was talking to you, all of you lovely folks, through a tin can. Sorry about that.
Like a podcaster from the 1800s.
It feels weirdly like hubris of me to be talking about that like this again, but like I double checked that I didn't make that mistake again. And since it would only be Diet Coke's time I'd be wasting, if that did happen again, I would ask for a re-record. But I feel like there has been, with these wrestle heavy men, I don't know if we ever really talked to people directly about, like, you know, there's like four real wrestle heavy minutes in the middle of this here match. And
we're not commentators. And you know how long it takes commentators to commentate on a minute of wrestling?
It takes them 60 seconds.
Yeah.
That's all the airtime they have to cover. And a lot of times they start talking about their fucking podcast or their Patreon or some bullshit.
Yeah, go to friggin' SteveAustinBarbecue.com and buy his beers or whatever. I forget what they're called. Broken Ranch, is that part of it?
Broken Skull.
Broken Skull.
IPA.
That's what it is.
I believe is what it is. Yeah, and so that's kind of where we've been at. We've got a couple tricks up our sleeve that'll get us through the hard times, but
the hardy times.
Should we talk about the future a little bit right here?
We can talk about that. I'm always, you know, like Prince on track 3 of the Batman soundtrack. I'm always willing to talk about the future.
Okay, well,
I hope that was track 3. Hopefully this will be like that time when I called Lost Time Shot just by inherent brain deep knowledge.
Like Michael Keaton in the role of Batman, this podcast's days are numbered. I don't want to say specifically this version of this podcast. Honestly, Diet Coke, ever since I've known you, I have been trying to rope your dumb ass into making a podcast with me. And I finally got an idea that got its hooks in you. And I don't think that idea had the staying power, but
sometimes something looks real good when it happens and then just doesn't pan out, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing, is like I feel like we're gonna be running into this more and more. In that, you know, they're not all gonna be Firefly Funhouse matches. In that there's not going to be an episode's worth of things to talk about in all 20 or so minutes of a lot of wrestling matches that we'd want to talk
but
about.
What is something that we could talk about for 20 or so minutes, Lily?
Oh, do you want to like call our shot?
Is that what point? I thought that's what you were doing.
No, I thought we were just kind of letting people know that we would be sunsetting this and moving on to a new idea.
All right, let's leave that as a juicy dangler. No, juicy dangler. People know that something's coming, but they don't know what.
Yeah. It's going to be the same feed. You don't have to resubscribe, because we don't want to lose all three of you.
Yeah, me, you, and a third person.
Yeah. That third person, shout out to you.
Yeah.
You're the lifeblood in our veins.
Yep.
I'll tell you something. If there's a match that just comes out to us and really begs for it and is maybe less than 10 minutes long,
maybe we'll get, you know, maybe
the big
we'll get
match
called
may
back
return.
Into action.
What is the movie that I'm thinking of that had there's like a back in action? Was it Looney Tunes?
There is a Looney Tunes back in action. That is correct. Starred
cool.
Brendan Fraser.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Or we'll be like the Looney Tunes. We'll be back in action.
Memorable scene where Matthew Lillard talks to Cartoon Shaggy. It's a lot of fun. Check it out.
We are also committing ourselves to finishing out the final deletion.
Oh, of course. If we don't, we'll get final deleted.
Yes.
That was
yes.
the contract we signed with Noise Space.
Yeah, with Noise Space. Matt is already on our ass just yeah. for missing like a month and a half.
yeah, but the extra half month was because was a punishment. We did get yes. semi-deleted. That was the last 2 weeks of our absence.
Mm-hmm.
And if we mm-hmm. don't finish out the match, then we will get final deleted.
Yeah, we will get final deleted. And of course, I'm not talking about Matt from Noise Space. I'm talking about Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy, yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah.
but we're still in these wrestle heavy minutes. Mm-hmm. A thought occurred to me while I'll be honest, we spent hours brainstorming what we were going to do for yeah. these 40 minutes of podcasting that we had to get ourselves through.
Yeah.
and this one didn't even occur to me during those hours of brainstorming. but there's a little movie that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
You should, you know, run, don't walk. To a preferably crowded movie theater.
yeah.
Crowded.
We
sit
want
in someone's lap if you can't fit.
Sit in the lap. You don't forget your mask. You got to be shoveling popcorn in that hole.
Oh, yeah. And I actually had this idea sight unseen, but had you seen the movie when I made this suggestion? Or
I
not?
Had not seen the film, but I had already made plans to see the film. I did see
you were going to be seeing it like that night. I think
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw it at a drive-in theater. Don't really go to movie theaters yet.
Don't go to movie theaters. I know we made a fun joke, but like, don't. And then I watched it, I think probably like the next day or the day after, something yeah. like that.
What movie, Lily?
The film, and I actually had to look this up on Google so I didn't get the, you know, the billing wrong. Yeah. It's Godzilla versus Kong.
Godzilla versus Kong, two beefy lads beefing it out in the Pacific.
They are, it is specifically those two lads.
I guess, well, I don't know what they're in the Pacific in this one. Godzilla traditionally resides in the Pacific, but now that I'm thinking about this film.
They spend some time on the coast of the Pacific.
Well, of the Pacific, but doesn't the first, I mean, we're getting into the movie now, I guess.
Yeah.
The first place that Godzilla attacks is like Florida, right?
Yeah, that's that old Floribama shore.
Yeah, Floribama Shore.
now all can those... we get into that? Yeah.
I wish I could. I wish I knew one person on that show I could have referenced just then.
Yeah. You don't know my old boy Kodai.
yeah. I'm sad to announce I don't know Kodai.
Gus.
Gus.
Oh my God.
Thoughts
Gus.
And prayers. Let's hope Gus survived the Godzilla attack.
Yeah. Well, I'm praying for Gus, praying for Kodai.
praying Scoop.
Praying for Nielsa.
Praying for Nielsa.
They're coming back to me.
praying for Jimbus.
Candace. Kirk.
Kirk.
All my Floribama Shore.
Hate to see Kirk get hurt.
Yeah.
When I
yeah,
think of
yeah.
Kirk sad, it makes me sad.
Listen.
I don't know any of these people.
If there's anything that all Kodai is gonna need to do, if there is a Godzilla attack in Panama City Beach. Mm-hmm. He just needs to puke and rally because that's what he does.
Okay, didn't realize that's what he does.
But so we kind of had the idea that we would map. Is that not obvious?
Yeah, Godzilla we're gonna map Kong onto Jeff versus Matt Hardy.
Which I was surprised, and this is coming from me. I'm not somebody who has ever. I think my experience with either of these characters goes down to the Peter Jackson King Kong movie.
That's a damn shame. As someone who loves both these characters but hates yeah. that movie.
Yeah, for sure. I want to get more into it, but I just never found the time.
Yeah, it's a shame. There's some good flicks in there.
Godzilla, I enjoy.
Who doesn't like Godzilla? You look at that man and you smile. That's my experience, at least.
I lied because there was a cartoon that I saw as a kid quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the name of the series, but it had Godzuki in it.
Sure. Was this the 90s Godzilla cartoon?
That sounds right.
The X-Men cartoon?
Yeah, something like that.
I unfortunately don't have a ton of experience. That's one area where I haven't seen a lot.
Okay. You know who Godzuki is?
I do know who Godzuki is.
Okay.
The sort of cartoon reimagining of the character Minila.
He kind of struck me as maybe like a small cousin to Godzilla.
Yeah, Minila in the films is Godzilla's child, but Godzuki, my understanding was that Godzuki was a nephew, but I haven't actually seen the show, so.
That seems right. Godzuki was very cute, very fun, and, you know, the human characters would have their human foibles and they'd pal around with Godzuki. And then at some point, there was a necessitation of a massive lizard to do something during an episode. And Godzilla would take care of that part.
Yeah.
But we've gotten so off the whatever. This is the show.
This is the show.
This is it!
You would have been watching the 1978 series, not the one I was thinking of. The 90s series that looked kind of like X-Men, because Godzuki did not feature in that one, but Godzuki did feature in the old Hanna-Barbera series.
This looked like an older series, and also, yeah, it was probably planned around some Looney Tunes and some, the Cartoon Network daytime sick at grandma's house block.
For sure. A classic block.
yeah. But anyway, we are presented in this film by two opposing forces.
I feel the first thing that we should do is figure out which is which, right? We got to figure out who's Matt, who's Jeff.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that...
Say it. Let's count down from three.
Yes.
And then let's say, we can't say both because that would be chaos. Let's count down from three and say who we think Matt is.
Okay.
So we're just gonna say the name of the monster that we think can be mapped onto Matt.
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
Godzilla.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're both in agreement.
I mean, Godzilla is the one trying to delete Kong. I think that's pretty obvious. Kong doesn't seem to want to hunt down Godzilla.
I don't know that I would necessarily agree with that.
Well, Kong is the one who can't really cross bodies of water unassisted.
True, but that Godzilla didn't put him on the boat. You know, the humans did that.
Well, yes. And I mean, listen, if we're to extrapolate any lessons, I think that what we can learn is that the real villain is, Dixie Carter? Is that?
Yeah. Yes. I think yes. So I am expecting that. Spoilers for Godzilla versus Kong, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I am expecting this match to end with the introduction of a mecha Matt Hardy by Dixie Carter.
Here's the thing. It doesn't map that perfectly.
Yeah.
But given the spoilers for the final deletion, sorry, but since we're mapping the final deletion to a whole ass movie, it does end with Jeff being deleted, and then Jeff is reincarnated into Brother Nero, and then they go and fight a bunch of people. They had a rivalry with the Young Bucks, who I think, if we're gonna call someone Mecha Godzilla, that abomination to wrestle.
Can I do a quick aside about the Young Bucks?
Yes.
I saw the Young Bucks, I saw this retweeted onto my feed. The Young Bucks had tweeted, "Hey, don't be mean to us in the replies to this or we'll delete our account again."
Yeah.
I'm rubbing my hands together. I'm thinking, all right, time to see some people shitting on the Young Bucks in the replies. Yeah. And I don't know if it was the algorithm that did this or what, but every single reply I read was be nice to them. And I was like, what are we doing here?
It was foul.
They gave us the route to getting them off Twitter.
Right?
They showed us a map.
They gave us the playbook. Ugh. Kong is, you know, on his beautiful little ranch in North Carolina.
Yeah, a.k.a. Skull Island.
A.k.a. Skull Island.
when he is taken by, alternatively, a boat led by Rebecca Hall and Kyle Chandler or Vanguard One out of his peaceful world.
Yes, yes. Which, I mean, he doesn't love that peaceful world.
That's true, because it's sort of a hellscape created by the humans.
It is a bleak little containment unit. They say it's for his protection
because a storm hit the island that makes it uninhabitable now.
Oh,
without a big dome. That they do say that at one point in the movie, that a certain point a storm came, and that's why this is a, I think, pretty fucking shitty thing about it. I like the movie overall, but this is a hard to ignore element that I wasn't a huge fan of. In Kong Skull Island, the first movie where we see this Kong and this Skull Island, the island has a whole population of indigenous people, and Godzilla versus Kong just neatly says, nope, storm killed all but one of them. And so we don't have to deal with them.
That sucks. I thought the Kong containment unit was entirely so Godzilla wouldn't sniff Kong out. That's what I got from the movie, but I, you know, might have been paying attention to sports scores.
I believe the idea is that Godzilla doesn't necessarily have specific beef with Kong, but he needs to be the alpha, which is why when he sees another monster show up, he's got to assert dominance.
Okay.
Kong also, this is also a thing that was like one line in the movie that would maybe be better understood if you had seen Kong Skull Island.
Right.
Not to gatekeep or fan shame you.
Yeah, if I was a real fan, I would have. Correct.
But, you did say that Kong was not interested in fighting Godzilla. He was just dragged there. But there is one line that establishes because of the lizard creatures that were coming out of the ground in Kong Skull Island, that it was Kong's like sacred duty to protect the island from those creatures. There was an implication that Kong has that sort of inherent hatred of lizard type creatures, which is why he was also down to immediately fight Godzilla.
That's weird.
Yeah. I do kind of like that. They're like, all right, we're just going to go really fucking nuts with lore in our monster movies.
But Godzilla's beefing. That's one thing that was very clear.
Godzilla's pissed off, and he's got a lot of stuff. Because he's pissed off because of his ancient wisdom, I would say.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I learned, apart from maybe his bullying of Kong, to not be mad at pretty much anything that Godzilla was doing.
Yeah.
I Godzilla coming for Kong when Kong was like tied up by the humans, that kind of sucked. But other than that, I'm okay with pretty much everything.
Godzilla innocent. I'm a Godzilla defender.
Yeah, his attack on Floribama Shore was because they were making a goddamn Mecha Godzilla.
They were trying
there.
To make their own Godzilla.
Yeah. And you know the number commandment, and I'm going to cut in a number there at some other is of Godzilla is that you shall have no other Godzillas before me.
Of course.
We all know this.
Of course.
They were making themselves a golden Godzilla.
And it had to be destroyed. We all understand this.
Had to be destroyed.
It did, for real though, it did have to go.
it's kind of bullshit that,
you know what happens, it always happens.
It happens.
Godzilla sticks around long enough, some fucking human gets it in their head that they're gonna create their own Godzilla.
Right. And it's just nonsense.
Yeah, it's nonsense, folks. don't build your own Godzilla.
Don't do it.
Be happy with the naturally occurring Godzillas we have.
Yes. Yes. Haven't you seen the Al Gore movie? We're running low on Godzillas.
For every Godzilla you create, you're destroying one that occurs in nature.
Yes, and the habitat for that one too. Yeah. And you know, it's not good. It's not good. Movies shouldn't have podcasts in them. Whenever movies acknowledge the existence of podcasts, it pulls me right out, because I don't know if you're gonna be in a, I wouldn't want to watch a movie about me. If you're gonna be in a movie, you shouldn't have a podcast. I guess it was a pretty cool podcast that he had, but like,
pretty, I don't know that I would describe that guy as pretty cool. I liked that he was pro Godzilla.
Well, yeah, and he was hosting a fucking podcast about fucking conspiracy theories and shit like that. I don't know. I didn't mind that guy. What was wrong with him?
Well, all I'm saying is, in the year of our Lord 2021, someone comes up to you and says, don't drink tap water because it has fluoride in it and they're controlling your brain.
Well, yes.
Would you assume that person is cool? Or would you assume that person has certain views that are going to be a problem?
I would assume, okay, in 2021, as we as a globe are trying to distribute a vaccine to defeat a virus that is rampaging across the planet, I would assume some very untoward things about somebody who wants to talk to me about fluoride.
Okay, but even in 2019, you wouldn't think this is maybe a Q, they're maybe going to start talking about QAnon next?
Well, I don't know if they were really into fluoride. All that kind of shit kind of got folded into Q.
And that's a shame. I will say,
as two people who are kind of enthusiasts of quackery.
I don't like that people just assume that any kind of conspiracy theory or like belief in even cryptids. I've seen some people, Justin McElroy, link somehow to QAnon and white nationalism. I don't think that's fair.
But it is an unfortunate fact of the day of our age,
yeah, for sure,
that so much of that stuff is like becoming a, you know, a flat earther to QAnon pipeline, you know, whatever it is. Like, they're all kind of getting funneled into this really unfortunate set of beliefs when, you know, yeah, a lot of the flat earthers were fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah, they were like, a lot of them were weird Christian fundamentalists already.
Yes, yes, yes. But not all of them were.
Not all of them.
I still feel like I could party with Mark Sargent.
Listen, if we're going to talk about Beyond the Curve, which is an excellent documentary about flat earthers on Netflix, you think you could party with Mark Sargent?
I think I could party with Mark Sargent
5 minutes in before I would not be able to physically stop myself from beating the shit out of him.
I'm beating the shit out? Why? Why do I need to be violent to Mark Sargent? Here's the thing. If I didn't approach him with the subterfuge of like, oh, I'm trying to pretend that I'm not into flat earth, I think he'd want to hang out with me. He's like, I know who he is. I'm kind of an enthusiast of his stupid bullshit. But like, I'm not going to be swayed by Mark Sargent.
You don't feel that there's an unbearable smugness about him that is fun to watch in a documentary, but would be sort of intolerable in real life?
Oh, absolutely, but like, I can have fun with that. You know, we can drink and I can be like, sure, Mark, sure, buddy. It's flat, ice walls, you're doing great.
I think I could party with Chris Pontius, which is another flat earther from the film.
Chris, you think you could party with the fucking... Absolutely. Here's the thing.
Yeah, he showed me his flat earth rider. That thing's cool.
Oh, wait. I was confused as to who Chris Pontius was. I think who am I thinking of? The guy who claims that he did like illustrations for NASA and claims
that's
he's like
Powerland.
Yeah. I feel like I could party with the bored women who are playing around with their phones in the background of all of his videos. I could party with them.
Oh, for sure. But not with Matt Powerland himself.
No, Chris Pontius. Now I'm remembering who you're talking about.
He's the kindly gentleman who makes flat earth models.
Yes, 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 yes. I would love to just like kill an afternoon in his shop.
Yeah.
Preferably after I am vaccinated. I assume he will not be partaking.
Yeah. You got to assume.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. We got so far off of just all of it.
You know, when we start talking about flat earth and other hot potatoes, we really run away with it.
Jesus. Do you think you could party with Patricia Steer?
I know, because here's the thing about Patricia Steer. Because of that moment in the film, and again, mm-hmm. please watch the film if you haven't.
Yes.
That moment in the film where she's in her car at night and she's like so close to figuring it out that mm-hmm. it's all bullshit. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and I hate to be one of these people, but I feel like knowing how close she is and seeing her cool house with all her cats.
Yeah.
I think there's a part of me that would try to save her from the flat earth.
Can I tell you why I don't think I could party with Patricia Steer?
Why is that?
It's the only reason. It's because she's into Morrissey.
Yeah.
And I just can't chill with people like that anymore.
That's true.
That's one of the most obnoxious personality traits in the world.
Yeah, you're not right. You're not wrong.
Okay. Should we talk? This is already like a really long, like it's going to cut down a little bit, but like, I feel like we've barely scratched the surface
of the film. Yeah. I mean, we mostly have talked about the flat earth. It seems like.
Yeah. Or the Floribama Shore.
Yeah, yeah.
The two F's that you can't get either of us off of.
Yeah. I mean, Godzilla versus Kong. Let's try mm-hmm. to redirect it back there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie, but it's also like, I don't know, it's kind of a hard movie to talk about because it is just a nonstop lore dump that is kind of like it's a very dense text. And I don't mean that it's like smart or philosophical.
No.
I just mean that there's a lot going on and I kind of love it for that.
Yeah. I do like that it is just presenting an idea that I think, you know, is interesting that there is, it is a hollow earth that...
Which hollow earth itself is a long-standing conspiracy theory that has existed.
Yeah. I mean, that's... I would not even call that a conspiracy theory because it has foundations in, like, ancient mythologies and shit like that.
I mean, there are people who claim that about flat earth, too.
Okay, no. That's not the modern flat earth movement has no contiguous, like, there's no, they don't really trace their roots back to like people actually thinking that there was a flat earth. They just kind of say that. There's not really like I'm talking about, like, there's real mythologies about like that's where the Titans are from and shit like that. Like that.
Sure. There is also, though, a lot of people who talk about the hollow earth in much the same way people talk about the flat earth.
Yeah, you're right. And you know that's where the fucking the Nazis are living under Antarctica.
Yeah. It is weird how movies like casually embrace pseudoscience and subplots these days.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked before, not on this podcast, but about how weird it is that a major plot point in Frozen 2 is that homeopathy is a real thing.
Then
Hollow Earth shows up here. It's a very strange time we're living in.
I mean, yeah, but this is definitely more of like a Hollow Earth exists as an extension of like, because that's where the Titans are from. And I do like that they're, you know, I like a lot of the creature design in the Hollow Earth when they got down there. And I do love that they went through all this like thing of like, you know, oh, we got to go to Antarctica. We got to use this real fancy ship so that we can go through to the Hollow Earth because that's where like there's like a pre-existing hole there. And then Godzilla was just like, fuck this. I'm taking down where I happen to be standing right now because I need to get down there.
Well, because he's from there. Godzilla has an inherent connection with the Hollow Earth.
Well, of course. Yeah. But he literally just like pointed his face down and shot a laser into the ground until he got there.
That was cool as hell.
It was awesome.
You should go back and watch some of the other MonsterVerse movies, because the creature design in all of them is pretty great, I would say.
I do want to go back and watch some of them. The legendaries, that kind of how they're referring to.
The continuity as a whole is typically referred to as the MonsterVerse. Like that's the name for it. Legendary Godzilla is a handy way to differentiate this Godzilla from Toho Godzilla and from TriStar Godzilla, the earlier American Godzilla.
Right. Exactly.
You can say legendary, or you could say MonsterVerse. Either or really works. So
I did actually take notes about the minute, but.
Well, I do want to say real quick about the minute. For a match that is pre-recorded, for a match where they could have done like takes and shit, they seem very exhausted. This feels like, you know, minute 45 in an Iron Man match almost.
Uh-huh. I do think, like, I would not be surprised to hear that the entirety of the final deletion, like, front to back, was shot in a day.
That would make sense to me. And I guess then, like, it would make sense that they're more exhausted because they're,
by this
they're
point
shooting multiple
sense.
Takes. It's not like a conventional match. But that the twist of fate that Jeff delivers in this is real slow. It's a real slow, lazy twist of fate.
Mm-hmm. Well, the twist of fate ends up getting blocked, and he does like a senton bomb, right?
Does he? I thought he landed it. Let me review the footage. But even in general, like, there's also like a lot of time is taken up. No, he gets a twist off fate.
Okay,
maybe the stuff with the ladder, it's like a lot of time where it's like, it clearly is like, all right, we're just gonna take a break and hold this ladder and film that. Yeah. That'll kill a good 10 seconds.
There's a lot of biting in this minute. Finger biting. Just
from
kind
Matt,
of
so it does kind of make sense that
biting?
We can map Matt onto Godzilla.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
more of a biter of the two of them.
Which that, like, I'm... That's that was kind of the emotional moment that really hit for me in Godzilla versus Kong was when Kong was deleted and then like revived by the like three good humans in the movie.
Yeah.
And then like there is like a, you know, the little indigenous girl like explains to him like, no, Godzilla's your friend.
Yeah.
And then there is like the tag team action that happens when Kong becomes Brother Nero and they join forces to defeat those horrid young bucks.
Yeah, it is. It's very satisfying to see a versus movie where there is a clear and definitive winner of the of the titular versus, but we also do still get to see them team up. You gave us the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it was good. I really liked the movie.
Me too.
Should we? Is there anything else you want to talk about? Kind of find our way out of here.
Oh, there was one thing in the minute when Matt is holding the ladder to Jeff's neck. I could not understand what he was saying. I don't know if you did. He's like, he's shouting one word.
You didn't understand what Matt was saying. I'm sorry, Emily. This is like we were watching an episode. Diet Coke. This is like we were watching an episode of like Pokemon Indigo League, and you're like, what was Pikachu saying in that last frame? I don't. He just says delete. He says delete four times.
Fuck off. That's not all he says in the rest of the minutes. I don't think he's ever just shouted delete, and it was just a case of like, I just couldn't parse what he was saying. Like, to me, he was saying, like, that's all I was hearing. If Pikachu every single time he talked had a different fucking voice, he might not understand him sometimes.
You know what, Detective Pikachu, so suck on that.
Yeah, but Detective Pikachu just speaks, so that defeats your earlier point anyway.
Yeah, but I did specifically say Pokemon Indigo League, where he never does speak. Well, we don't do plugs anymore.
No. We just get mad at each other. And that's it.
And we don't We don't have like
a guest to do plugs.
A guest to do plugs.
Hey, just follow us on Twitter. One quick plug and then we're out. I'm Diet Coke, which is at Very Cool Emily.
I'm Death Carpets at Death Carpets, which I guess my display name is going to hell in a hand job right now. Yeah. Whatever.
This was fun. This was a fun time back, if a little disorganized.
Yeah. I've missed doing this, Diet Coke.
It's a good time.
It is a good time. Now, given how, you know, maybe this is like a chance for us to rejuvenate and find, maybe, you know, our time is limited. Maybe we could find our way out and we can end the podcast on something, you know, that makes sense. And kind of a sign-off phrase that the people will come to understand. What do you think?
No, I'm not interested in that.